primary black hole. We spend billions of dollars a year on biomedical research, teasing out the answers to unimaginably complex questions about why we get ill. We know in enormous detail how genes and proteins relate to each other, how regulatory networks feed back into each other. We build elaborate mathematical models and design computer simulations to play out our projections, yet we don't know how the parts evolved. How can we hope to understand disease if we have no idea why cells work the way they do? We can't understand society if we know nothing of its history, nor can we understand the workings of a cell if we don't know how it evolved. This isn't just a matter of practical importance. These are human questions about why we are here. What laws gave rise to the universe, the stars, the sun, the earth, and life itself? Will the same laws beget life elsewhere in the universe? Would alien life be anything like us? Such metaphysical questions lie at the heart of what makes us human. Some 350 years after the discovery of cells, we still don't know why life on Earth is the way it is. You might not have noticed that we don't know. It's not your fault. Textbooks and journals are full of information, but often fail to address these childlike questions. The internet swamps us with all manner of indiscriminate facts, mixed with varying proportions of nonsense. But it's not merely a case of information overload. Few biologists are more than dimly aware of the black hole at the heart of their subject. Most work on other questions. The great majority study large organisms, particular groups of plants or animals. Relatively few work on microbes, and even fewer on the early evolution of cells. There's also a concern about creationists and intelligent design. To admit we don't know all the answers risks opening the door to naysayers, who deny that we have any meaningful knowledge of evolution. Of course we do. We know an awful lot. Hypotheses on the origins of life and the early evolution of cells must explain an encyclopedia of facts, conform to a straitjacket of knowledge, as well as predict unexpected relationships that can be tested empirically. We understand a great deal about natural selection and some of the more random processes that sculpt genomes. All these facts are consistent with the evolution of cells. But this same straitjacket of facts is precisely what raises the problem. We don't know why life took the peculiar course that it did. Scientists are curious people, and if this problem were as stark as I'm suggesting, it would be well known. The fact is, it's far from obvious. The various competing answers are esoteric and all but obscure the question. Then there's the problem that clues come from many disparate disciplines, from biochemistry, geology, phylogenetics, ecology, chemistry, and cosmology. Few can claim real expertise in all those fields. And now we are in the midst of a genomic revolution. We have thousands of complete genome sequences, codes that stretch over millions or billions of digits, all too often containing conflicting signals from the deep past. Interpreting these data demands rigorous logical, computational, and statistical know-how. Any biological understanding is a bonus. And so the clouds have been swirling around with arguments. Each time a gap opens up, it reveals an increasingly surreal landscape. The old comforts have been evaporating. We're now faced with a stark new picture, and it's both real and troubling. And from a researcher's standpoint, hoping to find some significant new problem to solve, it's flat out thrilling. The biggest questions in biology are yet to be solved. This book is my own attempt to make a start. How do bacteria relate to complex life? The roots of the question date right back to the discovery of microbes by the Dutch microscopist Antony van Leeuwenhoek in the 1670s. His menagerie of little animals thriving under the microscope took some believing, but was soon confirmed by the equally ingenious Robert Hooke. Leeuwenhoek